in the Bible, by salvation we become bride of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel is portrayed as the wife of Yahweh. In the New Testament, we are pictured, the New Testament church is pictured as the bride of Christ. You know that all of us are, most of us are married, and therefore we know that our marital life, there will be ups and downs. In Corinthians, we read, Paul says that I am betrothed you to Christ. Then he made, in second verse, he made a statement, I fear that you may be deceived by servant, a serpent, you may be deceived by the serpent. So which means what I am trying to communicate here, at times our relationship with the Lord may go down. So we may not have a close relationship with the Lord as it in our marital life. So then we should know how to restore our relationship with our husband or wife. The same way we should know how we have to restore our relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. So there are a few basic steps in the process of restoring our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will learn that principles from Psalm number 51. I know that this is well-known Psalm to everyone, but we will try to study this Psalm this night to know how to restore our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us read a few verses of Psalm 51. Yeah, in first verse we read, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. So the background of this psalm is, we can see in the superscription where we read, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, he has composed this psalm. You know that the background of this psalm, therefore I am not going to expose the background of this psalm. So this psalm will tell us or help us to understand, we can discover four basic steps involved in the process of restoring our relationship with the Lord. We know that sometime we will have a strong relationship with the Lord, sometime it breaks down, and therefore we need to know how to restore our relationship with the Lord. So here in this psalm, you know that David was a man of after God's own heart, but his relationship with Yahweh was broken because of sin. Then in this psalm we know that he is restoring that broken relationship with the Lord. So in that process, there are four basic steps are involved. That is what we are going to try to understand from this psalm. The first step we read in Psalm 51 verse 1, that is claim God's forgiveness in our life. So when we know that we have committed sin, when we know that we are away from the Lord, when we know that our relationship with the Lord is not right, what we have to know that our God is gracious God who will forgive our sins. That means we need to claim God's forgiveness. Once a Sunday school student was asked a question by the teacher. He asked what we need to do first in order that our sin may be forgiven. Then the Sunday school student said, sir, we need to commit sin first in order that our sin will be forgiven. So what we need to know or what we need to do in order to restore our relationship with the Lord, the first one is that we need to claim God's forgiveness. That is what David is doing in verse 1 here. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Claim, now the only claim he could make for forgiveness was God's grace. And we read here, God is God's loving kindness and also His great compassion. Based on that, God is going to forgive his sins. And we know that David committed a lot of sin in his life. Compared to David, I think that we must not have some committed that serious sins in our life. But still, whenever he committed sin, when the relationship is broken, he again and again comes to the presence of the Lord and he confessed his sin. So let us read one more verse, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 12 to 14. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 12 to 14. You know that incident there, David has taken a census among the people. That means that his trust, he lost the trust in the Lord. Then he himself confessed the sin of his. And in verse 12, we read 2 Samuel 24, verse 12. Go and speak to David. Thus the Lord says, I am offering three things. Choose yourself one of them, which I will do to you. You know that David committed a particular sin here. I'm not going to explain what sin he committed there. Then he is repenting and restoring his relationship there. So when he repented his sin, God has forgiven the guilt of sin. But God says that since you have committed this sin, you have to bear the consequences. So God is presenting, or God is setting before David three things. You can select one, I will do to you that one. So the three things God said that, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? That is the first one. 7 years of famine in the land of Israel. The second one, or will you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? That means I will give you in the hands of the enemies for 3 months. The third one, or shall there be 3 days of pestilence in your land? So then David says in verse 14, then David said to God, I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. So, which option David chosen? Option number one, 7 years of famine. Second one, 3 months in the hands of the enemies. The third one, 3 days of pestilence. Which one got David selected? Third one. What is the reason? Reason is stated in verse 14. He says, I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Then we read, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. Which means, if he had taken the first two options, he will fall into the hands of men. How? If there are 7 years of famine, where he has to go? The neighboring countries. Begging, please give us food. He knows that his forefathers had gone through the different place for the food. He knew it. If you go to the neighboring countries for begging the food, then they will not show the mercy. The second one, three months in the hands of the enemies, which means the enemies will destroy them. If in these two cases, they won't show any mercy. They will destroy. I would say that this is the wisest decision David made in his life. Then he said, let us fall in the hands of the Lord. The reason is, his mercies are great. And we know that as we read the following verses, when God afflicted Israel through the angel, when God has seen that many Israelites have fallen or died because of this consequence of sin, God repented of sin and God said to the angel who is destroying the people, stop, withdraw your hands. So David's decision was right because he knew God is gracious. So that is the reason why whenever David committed sin, he always came back to the presence of God because he knew God is gracious God. That is the first one we need to know. When we know that we have committed sin or we are wrong in our life, we need to know our God is gracious God. And whenever we come into the presence of God, God will restore us. God will receive us. That knowledge should be there. So we can come into the presence of God. We can claim the mercy of God, forgiveness of God in our life. That is the first step involved in that. You know that even all the prophets in the Old Testament, they knew the God is gracious God. An interesting example may be Jonah the prophet. God asked him to go to Nineveh and he went to Tarshish, we know. And he made a wonderful message. At last God again made him to be there in the Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. And he delivered a wonderful sermon. In 4th chapter of Jonah, we read that Jonah was very much upset. What was the reason? Jonah was very much upset. Because God is merciful. And he says there in 4 verse 2, I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God. And usually the servant of the Lord and the uncle is going to other place and we are going different places and preaching the gospel. It is our earnest prayer, Lord, let at least few people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Here is the prophet. He delivered a wonderful sermon and waiting to see the destruction coming upon the people of Nineveh. What is the reason? And that is the reason why one writer called him aptly as a prodigal preacher, Mudian Prasangagan. So he preached a wonderful message and waited for the judgment to come on the people. The reason is, you know, that the Assyrians were always the brutal, and they were always had antagonism between with the Israelites. You know that in 722 BC, Assyrians have taken the northern kingdom of Israel to the Assyrian captivity. So all these things were in the mind of Jonah, and that the reason why he doesn't go to Nineveh, first of all, the reason is he knew that even though they are brutal, they are cruel, when the message is delivered, when they repent, God is gracious and compassionate, God will save. That is the reason why he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. So what I'm trying to communicate here, our God is gracious God. If God has shown great compassion and grace to the people like Nineveh, the brutal people like Assyrians, how much more he is gracious to his children. So we should be aware of this fact. Whenever we are away from the presence of God, we should know that our God is gracious. Whenever I come back, God will receive and God will forgive my sins. In Micah chapter 7 verse 9 we read, and he will again have compassion on us, and he will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So again in Psalm 103 verses 8 to 13, especially in verse 11 we read, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so the great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Then in verse 13 we read, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Which means our God is gracious God. In 1 John 1:9 we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. So that is the first step that we need to know, or we have to do, when in order to restore our relationship with the Lord. Claim God's forgiveness in our life. Second step that we read in verse chapter Psalms 51 from verses 2 to 9. The second step is to confess our sins. First one, claim God's forgiveness. Second one, confess our sins. That is the second step in restoring our relationship with the Lord. So from the example of David, we can learn four specific about confession. I don't know how many of us are aware of this fact. When we confess our sin, we should be aware of four things. The first one, we must address sin by name. What does it mean by we must address sin by name? Every sin must be confessed before the Lord. How do we know that? Let us make an observation from verse 1 and 2. There are few terms or different terms or synonyms are used in this particular psalm for sin. Can you find it out for me? What are the different terms used for sin in this particular psalm?
Transgression.
Yeah, transgression. Very good. Iniquity. Sin. Okay, as you know that Old Testament is written in Greek, Hebrew language, and New Testament in the Greek language. So the Hebrew language or the Hebrew words used here for sin describes so three different aspects. The first one, the transgression in the Hebrew language means, David is saying, Lord, I have deceived someone, forgive my sins. Or I have cheated someone. You know that what cheating David has done. You know that he has taken another man's wife, and Uriah was very faithful soldier, and he, you know, the all the things that David has done. And also when the Nathan the prophet addressed this sin to David, you know that the way that David acted, and I would say that if the Oscar award was there during that time, definitely David must have received it, because wonderful way he acted before Nathan the prophet. He knew that he was a sinner, he committed so many things in his life, then he acted wonderfully covering all these sins. When the Nathan the prophet addressed his sin and pointed his fingers to David, you are the man, David says, the Lord, I am a deceiver. I have deceived. I am a hypocrite. Forgive my sins. And second one, iniquity here means immorality. You know that what immorality David has done, committed in his life, that means adultery. And he is confessing here, Lord, I have committed adultery, I have committed immorality in my life, forgive my sins. And the third one cleanse me from my sin, is he saying that, Lord, I have committed a crime, I have killed someone. This is very much clear in verse 14 of Psalm 51, where we read, deliver me from the blood guiltiness. That means David says that, Lord, I have killed a person. Whom he killed? You know that. So which means, when David confessed his sin, he addressed every sin. When we confess as a believers, we have to address sin by sin by name. Every sin must be confessed before the Lord. First of all, claim God's forgiveness, then confess your sins. When you confess, we have to remember, we have to address sin by name. And usually, how we confess our sin? Especially the brethren people, Saturday night or Sunday morning. How we confess? Lord, last week I have committed so many sins, forgive me. The wholesale business. Of course, when we have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, at that time all our sins are forgiven. Wholesale forgiveness was given. The imputed sin from Adam is forgiven. But a believer, after coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, when we commit sin, we have to address sin by name. And if that is the case, how many unpardoned sins, unconfessed sins are there in our life? And David is known as the man after God's own heart. The simple reason is, whenever he is confronted by God about his sin, he confessed it. And he confessed each sin. He said, that, Lord, I am a deceiver. I have committed immorality. Lord, I have killed a person. Forgive me. Every sin he confessed before the Lord. That is what we need. That means, very specifically, if I have some problem with my wife, I have to say sorry to my wife. I have to settle with my wife. If the brothers, each other, we have to settle. So that is what the scripture says. That is what in Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24 we read. You know that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that when you go and offer the sacrifice, you know that your brother has something against you. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. And if we come other way, and that offering is not received by the Lord, and we have to address sin by name. And if he has something with our brother or sister or wife or husband or children, whomever it may be, we should address sin by name. If this night as we sit in the presence of the Lord, if there are some unconfessed sins in our life, the wholesale confession is not received by the Lord. And if we have real repentance, we will definitely address sin by name. And there are some people who would say that, you know, my relationship with the Lord, I don't care what my co-brothers or sisters say in the assembly. And I would say that horizontal and vertical relationship would be, you know, if we have right relationship with the Lord, then we will have right relationship with our brothers and sisters. And if we don't have right relationship with the brothers and sisters, if someone says that I have a right relationship with the Lord, I say it is hypocrisy. Because you can do that. And God himself said that if you cannot love the brother whom you see, how can you love God whom you can't see? And therefore, when we confess our sin, we have to address sin by name. That is the first thing. There are four things in our confession. The first one, we have to address sin by name. The second one, we must accept the full responsibility. We must accept full responsibility. How do we know? As we read this psalm, the first person singular is used here. See, always Paul, David says here, my iniquity, my transgression, my sin, I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me, and I have sinned, so I was brought forth in iniquity, I, which means, David says, the Lord, it is my mistake. He accepted the full responsibility of sin. He never blamed anyone. And if we were in the place of David, we would say, the Lord, it is the circumstances that made me to do this sin. സാഹചര്യ സമ്മർദ്ദം കൊണ്ട് ഞാൻ പെട്ടു പോയതാണെന്ന് പറഞ്ഞു ഞാൻ. ലോർഡ്, ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദ സർക്കംസ്റ്റാൻസസ് ഐ ആം കമ്പൽഡ് ടു ഡു ദീസ് സിൻ. ബട്ട് ഹി നെവർ ബ്ലെയിംഡ് എനിവൺ. ഹി നെവർ ബ്ലെയിംഡ് ദ സർക്കംസ്റ്റാൻസസ്. ഹി നെവർ ബ്ലെയിംഡ് എനിവൺ. റാദർ ഹി അക്സെപ്റ്റഡ് ദ ഫുൾ റെസ്പോൺസിബിലിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഹിസ് സിൻ. ഇഫ് വി ഹാവ് എ റിയൽ റിപ്പന്റൻസ്, വി വിൽ അക്സെപ്റ്റ് ദ റെസ്പോൺസിബിലിറ്റി ഓഫ് സിൻ. എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ജസ്റ്റിഫൈ ഹിംസെൽഫ് അബൌട്ട് ഹിസ് സിൻ, ഹി ഹാസ് നോ റിയൽ റിപ്പന്റൻസ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് ലൈഫ്. വി കനോട്ട് റെസ്റ്റോർ അവർ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വെൻ ബി ജസ്റ്റിഫൈ അബൌട്ട് അവർ റോങ് ഡൂയിങ്. ആൻഡ് ഡേവിഡ് is a good example here. He always, whenever he was addressed by God, confronted by God or the prophet, he accepted the responsibility of his sin. We know that Nathan the prophet, and if David wanted, he can even kill Nathan the prophet, right? He is the sovereign king of Israel. No one will question why he killed this Nathan the prophet, but he didn't do that. He accepted the responsibility of his sin. And as a servant of the Lord, the elders of the assembly will know it. There will be some problem among the assembly believers, or maybe some family problem. Sometime we will be invited to solve the problem. As a servant of the Lord involved in the ministry for a few years, and I know that when we call two parties together and start settling the problem, in 2 minutes or in 5 minutes, we will know that whether this problem is going to solve or not. You know how? It's not any psychology, not any magic there, a simple logic. If when we call both of them and say all the incidents, and them one among them started to saying like this, "Brother, this is my mistake, forgive me." If he says like that, we know that this problem is going to solve in no time. And if both of them are going to start arguing, we know that this problem is not going to solve soon. Whenever we have a real repentance, we will accept the responsibility of our sin. Sometime involving in the solving the problems of our brothers, I thought that our brothers must become the criminal lawyers. What are the different law points they bring? This is the reason why I say this and that. And that means they have no real repentance. When we have real repentance, we will never argue with the Lord. See all the people in the Bible, whenever they are addressed by God, when they are confronted by the servant of the Lord, when they know that they went wrong, they accept the responsibility, they will never blame. Usually, believers, we blame the circumstances, we blame the elders, and we blame others. We will never accept our responsibility of sin. If we have a real repentance in our life, we will definitely accept the responsibility of our sin. That is the second point we need to understand in our restoring our relationship with the Lord. That is the second point. First of all, we must address sin by name. Secondly, we must accept full responsibility of our sin. The third one, verse 5 to 8. The third one, we must acknowledge the cause. Third one, when we confess our sin, what we need to know, we must acknowledge the cause. What is the cause? Read verse 5. Yeah, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. What is the cause here? Two causes are the first one, the sin nature that is in David. This was the puzzling question in my beginning stages of my Christian life. I got saved. I thought that if I am saved, I will not do anything wrong. I cannot think wrong in my life. That is what I thought. But even after my salvation, the wrong thoughts came to my mind. Sometime I did something wrong, serious sins in my life. Then I doubted whether I am saved or not. I thought that when I am saved, I will become holy. I will not go wrong. I cannot think as an unbeliever. So that is what I thought in my life. In my immaturity. As I learned the scripture, I came to know that still the sin nature is in me. At the time of our salvation, the old nature is not eradicated from our life. Still the old nature is there. According to Paul, he uses the different terms. Which are the different terms? Old man, new man, or the sin nature and the carnal nature, old nature and new nature, different terms. What does it mean by the different terms? The old nature. How long this old nature will be with us? Maybe at the age of 50 or 55, we will be away from all this temptation and sin aspect. Eh? Lifetime. Uncle says, and the older person in the assembly says that it's a lifetime. Till our death or till the rapture or the glorification. Till that time we have to struggle with this old nature with us. That means Christian life is a tug of war, a battle between the old nature and new nature. This is a subject matter in Romans chapter 7, the sanctification, if we are justified by grace of God, then we have to lead a sanctified life. Basis and attitude is explained in chapter 6 of Romans. Then chapter 7 of Romans says that the conflict that we face, Paul says that I wanted to do good, but I am unable to do good. I do something which I hate, which means there is what Paul say that I have a two nature. Or before my salvation, I have only one nature. What was that nature? Old nature. At the time of my salvation, I have another nature. What is that nature? New nature. So what happened to the old nature, old man? Still he is there. So who will win? So I said that in Biju, you know, there are in my heart two men are there, or two natures are, old nature and new nature, or old man and new man. The greatest battlefield in the world is our heart, between the old man and new man. Let me ask you, who will win this battle? Stronger person. Excel, I appreciate that. That is the excel answer. From our experience, usually who is winning? Old man? Brother? Hello, man. Please come. Come, 1 minute, please. Just with the class, you know, just for an example, demonstration. We are going to make a wrestling now. Oh, no doubt about it. Okay, suppose, and I'm not going to make a wrestling here, just for illustrate a point. So if we wrestle each other, what do you think? Who will win? He's not that weak, he's strong. Okay, so you think that I will win if we wrestle right now. Okay, brother, please be seated. No, but now I am not going to make a wrestling with this brother right now. This is going to be postponed for the next month. I am not going that next month you have to call me for the ministry to wrestle with him. Just an example. Okay. But one thing, you will put me in a particular room. You will knock me. Okay. And you will give all the chicken and mutton, whatever you wanted to him, you will provide him. But you will give me only water. And after 1 month, we both of us will be met together. In that case, who will win the battle? Definitely this brother will win the battle. Now for the 1 month even, I can survive without food maybe 2 or 3 days. After that, I won't be able to stand. I will be very weak. So, as the uncle said, that the stronger person will win in the battle. So, how can we make the nature, the old man or new man, stronger in our heart? It depends on the food that we give. Both old man and new man, both of them are in need of food. Whom we feed? If we feed the old man, he will become strong. And then that person is known as a carnal Christian. If we feed the new man, he will be strong, then he will become a spiritual. What is the food of the old man? Old nature. All the sin. Now all other things. And the old man said, go and watch unnecessary programs in the TV. And go to watch unnecessary sites on the internet. Or spend time in, you know, worshipping with the people. Don't pray. And all other things which you can name in our life. But the new man wanted, what the new man is in need? Prayer. Bible study, as a newborn birth, we have to drink the word of God, then we have to have the fellowship with the assembly, and we need Bible study. All these things are needed for the new man. And sometime, old man is working. You know what is the reason? And in the assemblies, and we will usually say that I am Mephibosheth, and I am just like a dead dog and all during the worship time. Then there will be some committee meeting. Then this dead dog will get life. Then now it will attack the people. And as the servant of the one servant of the Lord, it will be, get mud or paved. In the worship time, he says that I am very pious. And he said, I am a Mephibosheth, I cannot stand. But he jumps and beat the and our brethren. So what means, the reason is, he is feeding all his lifetime, all other days, he is feeding his old man. It will come out. You cannot lead a Christian life in no time. You cannot be just a spiritual, only just the time of worship. It is how we deal with our Christian life. Whom we feed is the issue. So, we have to remember that still the old nature is still you and me. The temptation varies age to age, It may be varies. Maybe young people may have a sexuality. Maybe a middle-aged person may have temptation for the money and settlement. And the older people usually will have fighting for the position. I would say that HMD, honey, money, throne. So these are the two areas of temptation usually people have. Age to age, it doesn't mean that older people doesn't have the other ones. But usually, this is what? What I'm trying to say, we have to get rid of this thing by feeding our new man and putting the old man, you know, without giving any food. So that is the first reason. We must acknowledge the cause. What is the cause? Because of the sin nature that is still in me. That is the reason. It doesn't mean that he is not saved. He is a saved person. Sometimes some of the believers doing the sin, which even the unbelievers won't do it. And we doubt whether that person is saved or not. He may be saved, genuinely saved, but not considering his spiritual life seriously. And he is always his old nature. That is the reason why he is behaving as a carnal man. So we have to acknowledge till the sin nature is with us. The second one in verse 6 we read, second reason, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me known the wisdom, which means a lack of desire for the truth. That is the second reason why believers commit sin. Lack of desire for the truth. Let me come to the third point, the fourth point, and as we confess the first time, we need to claim God's forgiveness. Second one, we need to confess our sin. As we confess our sin, we have to address sin by name, and we must accept full responsibility. We must acknowledge the sin. We must acknowledge the cause, the sin nature, and lack of desire for the truth. And the fourth one, we must acknowledge the consequence. The fourth one, then we commit sin. When we confess our sin, we must acknowledge the fourth thing in our life. We must acknowledge the consequence. What is the consequence? Verse 8. Would you please read it for me? Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. What does it mean? When we confess our sin, the guilt of sin is forgiven, but the consequence is not taken. But let me make it once again a statement. When we confess our sin, the guilt of sin is forgiven, but the consequences still we have to bear. Still we have to go through the consequences of our sin. That is what is the consequence? When David confessed his sin is forgiven. But we read that in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, let the bonds which you have broken rejoice. That means he lost his happiness and his health. That is the basic idea. Let the bonds which you have broken rejoice. But that means that affected his physique, which means he lost his health and his happiness, joy. That is the consequence. So in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 13 and 14, and then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. So when Nathan the prophet addressed David about his sin, he confessed. Nathan the prophet said, Lord has taken away your sin. You shall not die. But in verse 14 we read, However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. Even though David confessed his sin, the guilt of sin is forgiven, but the consequences is not taken. He has to bear the consequences, which we have already seen when David confessed God's set before him three options. One, he has to take in his life. Remember, whenever we commit sin, we think that when we confess, always God will forgive. Of course, definitely God will forgive. So the guilt of sin will be taken, and therefore we can, with a clear conscience, we can come and worship the Lord. We can involve in the ministry. No problem, because God has taken the guilt of sin. But the consequence we have to bear in our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 and 30, a well familiar verse for all the brethren people, because every Sunday we used to read this passage. For he who eats and drinks the judgment to himself, he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and number sleep. What does it mean? They come to the presence of God to worship, and partaking from the Lord's table unworthy manner. And here, not discerning the body rightly. What is the body here? You see the bread that we take? It is the body of Christ. It is the church of God. So when we partake from Lord's table, we are not declaring the death and resurrection of Jesus. And also we declare one more thing. As the cup is one, as the bread is one, we are also one. Lord, we are partaking from this bread and wine as a united together, as the one people of God. With the unity we partake from it. So when we are fighting each other, and when we don't settle our problem with our brother, we will come and say, you know, partake from Lord's table. Bible says that you are eating and drinking the judgment. It's a very clear teaching of the scripture. And that is the reason why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that when you go and offer the sacrifice, if you know that your brother has something against you, first of all, set aside your sacrifice and go and settle, reconcile with your brother, and then come and offer your offerings. So let us take this as a very serious admonition from the Lord. And in 1 John 5:16 we read, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, and he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to the death. There is a sin leading to death. A believer can commit two kinds of sin. The sin that will lead to death and sin that will not lead to death. I'm not going to explain all those things right now. So that is a second step in the process of restoring our relationship with the Lord. First one, claim God's forgiveness. Second one, confess our sins. When we confess things, we have to remember four things. Address sin by name. And also the second one, accept full responsibility and acknowledge the cause and acknowledge the consequence. The fourth step in the process of restoring our broken relationship with the Lord is recorded in verse 10 and 12. Let us come to verse 10 and 11 and 12 of Psalms 51. And chapter 10, and 11, Psalms 51, 10, we read, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast away from your presence, and do not take away your spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with the willing spirit. So here, the third point, construct new patterns in our life. Claim God's forgiveness. Second one, we have to confess our sins. The third one, construct new patterns. Too often we stop with the confession. But Bible says that there must be subsequent renewal and restoration. Two words here. And renew me a steadfast spirit within me. And verse 10. And verse 12 we read, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Renewal and restoration. Renewal means, the basic meaning of the word renewal, the term renew conveys the idea of starting all over again. Suppose that, which means we have to construct new patterns. Suppose every believer has our own weakness, and that is known to Satan very well. My area of weakness may not be your area of weakness, and he knew where is my weakness. And therefore, whenever we commit sin, we have to, the basic idea what David is saying here, renewal and restoration means, we have to construct new pattern. Suppose that some people have the problem with watching TV, and they will not read the Bible, they will not pray, always wasting time before the TV. And every night they confess, Lord, today also I spend a lot of time before the TV, forgive me. And tomorrow also this box is there, you go and watch there and do it. And some people will have the website, the net, internet, go and say, some unknowingly you go to the unnecessary sites and it will lead to the sin. And you go there and all the day you come and say, Lord, forgive my sins. And I have watched so many other things and all. And some people go unnecessary friendship may be the problem with. And you go and talk with and spend time with unhealthy friendship. And again you come into the night and say, Lord, this is my sin, I forgive me. What the Bible says, you got to construct new patterns. If the TV is the problem, set aside the TV. If the net is the problem, you keep yourself away from that. And if you have the problem with the unhealthy friendship, detach from them. That is what the Bible says. Don't go and every day commit the sin and again confess. No, construct new patterns so that you will not fall into the same sin again. That is what the scripture says. And usually what we do, we confess sin, right? But again, every day we repeatedly do the same sin. The reason, that is what David says, renewal and restoration. Renewal should be there. That should be starting it all over again. Restoration. And usually we don't have this knowledge. And brethren, people have always, if someone has done something wrong, that is the end of his life. We don't restore. Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, restoration is needed. And if you don't have a right relationship with the Lord, if you know that your relationship with the Lord is weakened, we need to restore our relationship. We have to renew and restore our relationship with the Lord. So that is what the scripture says. The last one. Let me conclude my message with the last point or last step. Communicate your change to others. That is the fourth step in restoring our relationship with the Lord. Claim God's forgiveness. Confess your sin. Construct new patterns. And third one, communicate your change to others. There are three ways that we can communicate our change to others. There are three ways. Paul, David says here, the restored one should do three things. That means you are communicating your change to others. Verse 13, the first one. How do we communicate our change to others? Verse 13. Would you please read it for me? Yeah. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Teach sinners. If you have real change in your life, you construct a new pattern in life. The words used, then I will. Then I will means, when you have claimed God's forgiveness, when you confess your sin, when you construct new patterns, then you know that you have a change in your life. And people are able to see that there is a change in you. Then you communicate your change, your sinners. So, and especially in Psalm 51, David is communicating his change to the people. As we are here, we fall short of our Christian life. When we do sin, David says, the sinners, I teach you. And this is what you need to do when you commit sin. Remember, there is a consequence of sin, when even though you confess your sin. Communicate your change to others. So you can teach sinners only if you have all these three things in your life. If you have claimed God's forgiveness, if you confess, if you construct a new patterns, there is evident change in your life, then you can teach sinners. That is the first one. Second one, verse 14. Deliver me from, 15. Oh Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. My mouth may declare your praise. Second one, praise God. Worship God. And if you have restored, if you have a change in your life, you have to communicate to change to others. And usually in our churches, if a person committed sin and we know that, usually he will come and sit in the last bench or last chair, and he will keep always till his death, keep silence. He will never praise God. He will never open the Bible and read a verse. Bible doesn't teach that. Bible says that if you are restored, open your mouth. David says that, then I will open my lips and praise God. That means the restored one should involve in the ministry. That is the restoration. That is the restoration. We need to restore our young people in the assembly. And this work is not done among the brethren. And if someone is done something wrong, we say that person is not necessary here in the assembly. So that is not the way. We have to restore such one. Let the restored one teach the sinners, let him praise. And last one, verse 18. By your favor, do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. In the psalm, in a psalm of repentance, why David praying, by your favor, do good to Zion? What is the reason? Have you ever observed or have you ever thought about it? Why David is praying to do good to Zion? The simple reason is that he is remembering the offended. David's sin affected the entire kingdom. Right? So David is praying to God, God do good to Zion. Which means that is the climax of our real repentance. We will remember the offended one. Our sin is, the consequences of sin is not going to be stayed with us. In other words, when I commit sin, the consequence of my sin will, my wife and child, even my assembly, or elsewhere I go and serve and minister, all those people will be affected because of my sin. So when I have a real repentance, I will pray, Lord, do good to the people whom I offended. And because sometime, because of your word, you must have grieved your brother or sister in the assembly. And maybe you, you know, some of the people must have divided the assembly. If you have a real repentance, as David prayed, Lord, do good to Zion. You will pray, Lord, good to do good to that particular brother or sister, because I have grieved him. Because of my sin, they have gone through the consequences. Do good to them. Oh Lord, because of my sin, my assembly is affected. Do good to my assembly. That is the climax of our repentance. If we haven't prayed like this, let us pray this tonight. Lord, there are many people affected because of my sin. Do good to such people. So that is the real repentance. And David, in his life, he lost his real relationship with the Lord. And he came to know that he need to have a right relationship with the Lord. And there are four steps involved in the restoring our relationship with the Lord. Tonight, let us examine ourselves. How is our relationship with the Lord? Are we genuine before the Lord, or are we hypocrites? And if you are hypocrites, Lord is knowing everyone very well. As I preach the message tonight, God knows who am I. And God knows every one of you very well. We cannot hide anything in the presence of the Lord. So if you know, if we may be very active in the assembly, involved in the ministry, and very active in the assembly, still we may not have a right relationship with the Lord. And you know that David, hypocritically, he worshipped the Lord and he did so many other things, even without confessing his sin. And he presented before everyone that I am well-to-do, I am good, I am a good person, I am a spiritual man. But when Nathan the prophet revealed his hypocrisy, he restored his relationship with the Lord. There are four steps involved in the restoration of a relationship with the Lord. Claim God's forgiveness. Tonight, let us remember our God is gracious enough to forgive our sins. Don't think that when you have sinned, don't think that, you know, I am gone. No. Still, our God is gracious God. If God has shown his grace to, you know, people like Assyrians, how much more our gracious Father is willing to accept if you repent and come back to the presence of God. Let us therefore come to the presence of God, as David said, Lord, let me fall in the merciful hands of the Lord. And if we don't confess, we are falling into the hands of men. We are falling into the hands of our enemy, and they will never show any mercy to us. And therefore, this night, let us claim God's forgiveness and come to the throne of grace and obtain His mercy. Secondly, let us confess our transgressions and sins. As we confess, let us address sin by name. As David confessed each sin of his life. And if there are some unconfessed sin known to you tonight, let us confess. And if you have some problem with some brothers or sisters or husband or wife or children, whomever it may be, let us tonight, let us settle it. That is what the Bible says. Secondly, we must accept full responsibility. Let us take down the gap of, ego and our ego. And let us say that I am wrong. And some people say that when we say sorry to someone, you think that you become weak. No, you are a strong Christian. When you are convinced that you are made a mistake to your brother or sister, when you go and say that to brother or sister, I am sorry, I have committed sin, or I am did wrong to you, please forgive me. You are not becoming weak there, you are becoming a strong Christian. So that is what real Christianity is all about. Tonight, if there is something in our life, or if there is someone with whom we need to reconcile tonight, let us accept the responsibility rather than blaming anyone or any circumstances. Thirdly, let us acknowledge the cause. Remember, we have the sinful nature. And also, let us remember, lack of desire for the truth will lead us to sin. So let us, as we struggle with the old nature, let us put down the old nature, let us feed the new nature, and let us be spiritual in our Christian life. Remember, all of us have this battle, struggle with the old nature. And remember, the fourth one, we must acknowledge the consequence. We enjoy the joy of sin. Remember, after some time you had to reap the consequence. Bible very clearly says it. When you confess your sin, guilt of sin is forgiven, not the consequences. Remember, the consequences, you are not only the one who is going to bear the consequences. There are people surrounded you are also going to be affected because of your sin. Remember that when we do commit sin. And construct new patterns. That is the third pattern. Third step in the process of restoring our relationship. Construct new patterns. Renewal and restoration. Let us make a real move from our own part to avoid all the circumstances of sin. construct new patterns. Fourthly, communicate. Let us communicate our change to others. How? By teaching sinners, by praising God, by remembering the offended. And if there are someone who are really offended because of your sin, let us pray, Lord, do good to such people. Maybe to our assembly. That is the climax of the real repentance. And if we haven't followed these steps in the repentance and return to the Lord, or real restoration with the marital relationship with our Jesus Christ, let us follow these steps in our Christian life so that we can mature and grow in our Christian life. May the Lord bless us through this word. Once again, I thank you, assembly, for this giving this opportunity. Thank you.